Reading Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16 to 26. Everybody stand up. Here we go. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Wonderful passage. Please, you may be seated. The kids are dismissed. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You know, it's really good to be here this morning. And I have the privilege of introducing Pastor Phil 20. Pastor Phil has been the missions pastor for Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa for many, many years. So let's give a warm Calvary welcome to Pastor Phil.
Well, good morning. We've already been blessed by being reminded of the glorious day that this is that the Lord has made, right?
Yes. Amen.
And traveling all over a little bit, you won't find a more beautiful place than what you have right here. This is absolutely beautiful. And even more than that, you have the Lord with you. He is here. His presence is here. And you're here today. And I pray that you will leave today with something more than you came. The message that I have to give to you this morning is very important. You've already seen it on the screen. You have it on your bulletin. It is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. Just a note on this passage. This is from the epistle written by the Holy Spirit through the pen of Apostle Paul to the churches in the region of Galatia. Galatia, coming from the word Gaul, I believe, which were the people who were in France as well. They inhabited that area. Currently, today, it's the middle part of Turkey. And Apostle Paul, as you probably know, was the Jew of the Jews. He was called by God to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And he made several missionary journeys into that area. He established churches in that area, establishing them specifically in the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace, what does that mean? Well, we have to contrast it to the gospel, so to speak, not really the gospel, but to the law. The law was in place for 1,500 plus years by God to the nation of Israel, to basically prove to mankind that man can't keep the law. The law was perfect in every way, but man can't keep the law. And its purpose was to drive us, to drive men to a Savior which would come later in terms of 1,500 years before Christ, and that was the Son of God, call the Messiah, the Mashiach. We call him Jesus Christ. It was God's answer to reconcile fallen man back to himself. Now, I recognize you've heard this message, most of you, but there may be some here today who are here first time or whatever, and I want to give a little gospel review. So as we get into the message, we talk specifically about walking by the Spirit, and you might say, well, I don't even know what the Spirit really is. What is the Spirit? So I want to talk about that just a little bit. But here we had the law in place, and it was basically began with only 10 commandments. God gave Moses on Mount Sinai 10 commandments, taking only a little space. Later it was expanded a little bit. Now the Jews, in their religious practice, expanded this tremendously. It continued to grow. About 400 or 500 years before Christ, they started writing commentaries about the law, and it grew. They eventually developed the Talmud. The Talmud ended up with 535 books, bound in 28 volumes eventually. And for the Sabbath day alone, there were 660 plus rules that you had to keep the Sabbath. Can you imagine, here is a Sunday, not the Sabbath day, that was Saturday, yesterday for the Jews, but Sunday is our day of worship. Can you imagine if you had to keep 661 rules today? You couldn't do it. But that legalism, I will call it, of rule keeping, got ingrained into religion and got ingrained into the early church. And so when Apostle Paul, who was persecuting the early Christians because he was not then yet a Christian, and he thought that it was all blasphemy, and he was killing Christians, he was arresting Christians, and he got a letter from the high priest to go from Jerusalem to Damascus to round up Christians in Damascus and bring them back to Jerusalem for pretty much their imprisonment and certain death. And Paul apprehended him. He got a hold of him on the road to Damascus, and Paul was converted. And here this great enemy of Christ became a great champion of Christ. So if there's anybody who knows the gospel of grace, it would be the Apostle Paul. Because he had grown up being trained under one of the greatest teachers, Gamaliel, in Jerusalem, and he was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. He kept all the laws. But he's on the road to Jerusalem, and the Lord apprehends him with a light brighter than the sun. He falls to the ground. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus Christ, whom you are persecuting." That must have hit him so hard. I'm persecuting the Messiah, the Mashiach, the one that the nation has been looking for so long. And then the Lord said, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks or against the goads. Meaning that he had already been prompting Paul earlier, but Paul hadn't gotten the message really yet. We know that at the stoning of Stephen, in Acts chapter 6 and 7, they laid the coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul of Tarsus, this was the man we're talking about, who later his name was changed to Apostle Paul. So Saul would have been, if that's true, as we think it is, it's in the Bible, so it's true that the coats were laid at his feet, but I believe it means he probably was a member of the Sanhedrin. If he was a member of the Sanhedrin, he would have been at least 35 years old, he would have been married, he would have been a leader of the religious Jews. And now here he's thrown to the ground and he's blinded. And so while he was on the way to Damascus with anger coming out, he was going to arrest these Christians. Now all of a sudden he's blinded and he has to be led into Jerusalem blinded. 3 days he was without sight. And how the Lord must have worked in him in those 3 days, bringing to memory all of the laws that he had known. He had known the Old Testament backward and forward, and now he starts to realize Jesus Christ is in every page of the law. Oh my. And God tells him, I have chosen you, Paul. You're going to suffer persecution. You're going to go through an awful, awful lot. But I've chosen you to take the gospel to the Gentiles. What? The Gentiles? They can't be saved. They're to fuel the fires of hell, is what we thought. And God says, no, they're my people as well. I'm sending you to the Gentiles. So now here's Paul. He's then filled with the Holy Spirit, and he becomes a radical, on fire believer, preacher like we've never had hardly anywhere else in the scripture. So he's out now in Turkey on these missionary journeys coming out of Antioch in Syria, north of Jerusalem, where the headquarters of the Christian church was in those days. And it says the Holy Spirit sent him and Barnabas out, and he's planting churches, saying the good news is believe in Jesus Christ and the finished work that he has done on the cross, that by the shedding of his blood, your sins are taken care of. And if you believe in him, that completes the salvation work for you, you will be saved. That was the message. And so people were saved. Churches were begun. And Paul moves on, planting more churches. A little later on, the word starts getting back to Paul that there are people coming into these churches and telling them, Paul didn't give you the whole story. Yes, faith in Christ is important, but you have to keep the law in addition to that. You have to be circumcised in addition to believing in Christ. You have to keep the dietary laws in addition to the teachings and to the believings of Christ. You have to keep all the holidays. You have to keep all these rules and regulations. And you know what? Our flesh loves to keep rules. Our flesh loves to keep rules and then feel so good about ourselves when we keep the rules, right? So the people started listening to this. Oh, well, we got to keep all these rules again. So now they're right back under the law. And we see now that they have turned their back on the gift of grace. Because grace is either grace or it's not grace. It can't be grace and law. And yet these people were being told there in Galatia that they had to keep the law. So Paul writes this whole epistle, among others. This is one of the early ones, though, I think. 6 chapters. We're only going to be looking at a part of the 5th one today. But he's writing this letter to them to tell them, how could you have left the gospel of grace so soon and gone back to the gospel of law? Or not the gospel of law, but go back to the practice of law, putting this bondage on yourself, which neither you nor your fathers could ever keep. And I come to you today, I don't want you to be under the law, but I want you to be under grace. I want you to serve the Lord because you love him, because you get to, not because you got to. And the things you're doing for the Lord is because you love him, not because you want to earn brownie points, not because you want to get closer to him. You get closer to him by worshiping him and by being in his word. But you don't get closer to him by your self-righteousness. Isaiah 64 tells us that on your very, very, very best day of your life, your self-righteousness is what? As a filthy rag to him. God is not interested in my best. He's interested in me being crucified with him and dying to self, dying to this flesh. Well, that sounds easy, doesn't it? And some days it goes pretty well. But guess who I thought of this morning, the very first thing when I woke up? Did I think of my Lord and Savior? No. Did I think of my precious wife? No. Did I think of my beautiful children, beautiful grandchildren? No. I thought about me. Am I all right? A little cold yesterday, a little hoarse yesterday. How's your throat today? All about me, right? Anybody relate to that? Anybody have to teach your child how to be selfish? Anybody have to teach you how to have pride? Pride, pride, pride. That's the biggest sin that I continually struggle with. So you can pray for me not to be so arrogant and so conceited and so self-centered. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. And Paul says, you're to be dead to that. You're to be dead to that. So we're going to move right on in just a minute to contrasting the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. Walking according to the flesh or walking according to the Spirit. So if we're going to walk according to the Holy Spirit, we have to understand what the Spirit is. There's a lot of spirits in the world. Everybody's probably worshiping some spirit. Some are in a bottle, and some are in drugs or whatever, but they're worshiping something probably. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit, which is one of the personages of the Holy God. We have what we call the Trinity, which I can't understand well enough to explain it. I just know it's true. But there's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit, right? Now, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit created the earth, because in Genesis 1 it says, in the beginning God, in the plural Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit created the earth. On verse 2 it already talks about the Spirit of God. There it is, the Holy Spirit of God hovered over the face of the earth. So we have the Spirit, we have the Father, we have the Son. They're always involved in everything significant at all times. Now the Son was given to come to earth as a man, as you know, and he was here on the earth about 33 years, we believe, and he died that we might live. He gave his blood to wash away our sins. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, right? So he gave his blood, and the Son of God died, was buried, but 3 days later, the power of the resurrection, through the power of the Spirit, through the power of the Father, through the power of Christ himself, raised him from the dead. I was at Chiang Kai-shek's memorial yesterday, and as far as I know, his body's still there. I've been in Mao's tomb in Beijing, body's still there. Everybody's tomb, body's still there. You can go to Jerusalem and see the tomb of David, the body's still there. But you can go to the tomb in the garden in Jerusalem and see an empty tomb. I want a Savior who's conquered death. I want a Savior who's been to hell and back, in a sense, and who's ascended into heaven victorious over sin and victorious over death. Is that who you want to serve? Amen, right? So we have then the Spirit. 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, in accordance with God's plan, was poured out on mankind, and the church age began. The church was born. And everyone who believed from that day forward has the Holy Spirit indwelled in them, has the Holy Spirit abiding in them. That's why you who are here today who believe in Jesus Christ are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's God Almighty living in you. The power of God Almighty is in you. Tremendous power. But that power will not be used unless you ask for it to be used. It will not overpower you. It will not force you to do what the Lord knows you should do, because God has created us to be individuals with self-will. He allows us to make decisions. Decisions, really bad ones, were made by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Sin entered the world. They followed Satan instead of God. They gave up their great place with communication with God, being led by the Spirit. And the Spirit, in a sense, died. The body took over. And now everybody without the Spirit, everybody that's not born again, is pretty much lives like an animal. Concerned about what you eat, about what you drink, about what you're going to wear, what you're going to do today and all that, and not concerned about the future. But when you're born again, and Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. When you're born again, the Spirit then comes and takes charge over your life if you so allow it. So that's what we want to talk about today. So as we get to this text, and one of the things I want you to take home with you today is this text, because you won't remember maybe very much of what I've said, but this is the answer to what we're talking about today, written in the Word of God, and you've got the Word of God, you've got access to the Word of God, and you can read it over and over and over, and you can ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you. So you've got the answer book to take with you. Isn't that good? You've got a great summary to take with you, better notes than man could ever make. And it's right here in terms of what we're talking about in Galatians 5. So Paul begins here in the 5th chapter of Galatians, and he tells the people what we read just a few minutes ago. I say then, walk in the Spirit, verse 16, and you shall not fulfill the lusts or the acts of the flesh. For this flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So that's the picture of all of us there, really. We can either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. The two are in contrary to each other, and they fight against each other. And you know what it's like, don't you? You don't want to give in to the flesh, and yet you see it fighting against the Spirit. And you want the Spirit to reign, but it's bombarded by the flesh that wants to get in there and do its thing. So that's the contrast or the conflict that we have. And as I just read, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. So that's the battle that's going on. Well, what is the battle, or what are the characteristics of the flesh? What are we talking about here? We don't have to guess. Paul gives us a list of 17 of them. We just read them. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, the first one is adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Those first three are primarily related to sexual immorality, primarily related to sex outside of marriage. And I don't know how it is in Taiwan, but in California, in America, we are so into sexual immorality. It's just sex, sex, sex everywhere that you see, glorifying adultery, glorifying anything unholy about sex. Pornography is rampant throughout the world today, really. Many of our pastors are into pornography, unfortunately. Many of the men, many of the women, maybe here in this room, are into pornography to a degree. That's a typical problem with the flesh as it relates here to these things we're talking about, adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Then there is the lewdness. Lewdness meaning just acting against God in a very unholy manner. Another one here is idolatry. You all know what idolatry is. An idol is anything that comes before God, anything that takes the place of God. Idols may be your job, may be your children, may be your wife or husband. Oh yes, love your wife, love your husband, love your children, but not more than God. Anything that comes before God is idolatry. The children of Israel were always guilty, generally speaking in the Bible, of two major sins, sexual immorality and idolatry. And their idolatry was that they quit worshiping God. They did not quit worshiping God. They were worshiping God. But in addition to God, they were worshiping Molech, giving their babies to be burned. They were worshiping Baal, which is the intellect. They were worshiping all these other gods. They would sacrifice to these false gods and then come back into the temple and worship the true and living God. And God said, no, that's not acceptable. That's idolatry. So here is idolatry, a work of the flesh. Then there's sorcery, that's pharmakia, that means drugs primarily. It means something that alters the mind. That's a work of the flesh. That's giving into the flesh. So if anybody in here has an addiction to alcohol or drugs or anything else, that comes under this category here. Then there's hatred. Hatred is not an uncommon term. Boy, before I was saved, I hated a lot of people. Well, fortunately, I don't hate so many anymore, but hatred is still there. It's not that it's gone away totally. Contentions. Contentions means you're always causing trouble. Do you like people around that always cause trouble? No. You like people around that are peaceful and bring peace, not contention. God hates contentions. Jealousies. Anybody ever had a jealous thought? I won't even ask for a show of hands because I know that probably most of you would not put up your hands, and yet I know all of you have had jealousy issues. Every one of us has. Outbursts of wrath. Losing your temper. Blowing up at somebody. Now, I don't know about your parking situation here. It's probably pretty good. But, you know, we get out of here. We have a little message. We have worship here. And then it's kind of nice. It would be kind of nice just to sit out quietly at the driveway out there. And as the cars go out, people cut in front of one another to see how much outbursts of wrath that there would be, right? What do you mean, cutting in front of me, right? Well, that's an outburst of wrath. That's the work of the flesh, right? Work of the flesh. then we have selfish ambitions. How many of you are struggling with selfish ambitions? Or dissensions, meanings to divide. Again, to get into a group and break it up. Heresies, that means to say things that are untrue. Untrue about the Lord or untrue about the Word of God. Then there's envy. Envy is another thing that we're familiar with, aren't we? These are all works of the flesh. And you may say, is this list ever going to end? Well, it will, but there's maybe things on here that we need to listen to because it's in the Word of God. Murders. Well, we know murders. Drunkenness, we know what that's all about. Revelries, that means partying without really using your mind right. And then it goes on a catch-all after that, and the like. So Paul says, these are the works of the flesh. Now the reason it's important, and notice it's plural, it's not work of the flesh, it's works. These are a whole bunch of different works. And basically, if you practice any one of those, here's the situation. Those who practice such things, what? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. So this is serious. These are not just, well, don't do these because they'll make your life worse, which they will. But these can actually keep you out of the kingdom of God. Why? If you're practicing this, that means you're really not born again, in a sense, because you're still serving the law of sin. You haven't died to the flesh. If we're born again, the flesh is to be dead, and we're to be alive in the Spirit, right? And you might say, well, there isn't anybody perfect. We're not talking about perfection here. We're talking about if you practice such things, that means you continually do them. If you're in adultery, maybe you've left your wife and you're living with an unmarried woman, and you're happy to be there, and you just stay there, you're living in adultery. That's practicing such things. If you've been into drugs all your life or into alcohol all your life and you're totally addicted to that and you're happy there, you're not in a good place, Lord. You're not in a good place with the Lord, because if you're born again, the Spirit is going to be shouting at you, this is not right, this is not right, this is not right. And if you ignore that, then you're into these works of the flesh, and it says those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we stop there today, that would be kind of a miserable message, wouldn't it? At least I think it would be. But I love this little three-letter word, B-U-T. But. Anytime in the Word of God when things are going bad and you see a but, you say, oh, praise the Lord, we're turning the other direction. And of course, if things are going good and you see a but, then it means it's not going to be so good. But we've not been doing so good in the works of the flesh, but it says, but. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now notice something that's pretty clear in the English language. It's even more clear in the Greek language. But the fruit of the Spirit is that singular or a plural verb? It's a singular verb. But then it lists nine things. How can you say fruit, singular, is nine things? Well, I believe the answer is fruit of the Spirit primarily is love. Primarily is love. There's eight more characteristics that go along with it that kind of further develop it. It's been described as a cluster, like a cluster of grapes. They're all joined together. So think of a cluster with nine grapes on it, and the big grape really is love, right? What did God tell us? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, right? Jesus said, and you shall love and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus came along and said, a new commandment I give to you, that you should love your neighbor as I have loved you, a total self-sufficient love. But it's the word love, thou shalt love. Love is the result of living a life led by the Spirit. So, if you're leading your life according to the flesh, you're going to be doing these bad things, these 17 bad things. Not all of them, maybe one of them, maybe two of them, maybe three of them. But if you're living with the Spirit guiding you, you're going to have these nine characteristics, nine, that are going to come out of your life. So, how do they come out of your life? Can you just say, well, I'm going to leave here today. I'm going to remember to be kind. I'm going to remember to have peace. I'm going to remember to have joy. No, you can't do it from the outside. What you can do from the outside is say, I'm going to heed the Holy Spirit which is in me because of my faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in me, and I'm going to heed the Spirit when the Spirit gives me guidance. When the Spirit says, don't do that, or when the Spirit says, do this, or when I don't know, I'm praying to the Lord. I'm saying, oh, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom, give me guidance, direct my path, show me the way to go, and then I'm doing that. And as I'm being led by the Spirit, then these 9 characteristics will come out of my life. They'll come out from the inside out, not from the outside in. In other words, I can't put 9 tags on my shirt, 9 buttons on my shirt of the fruit characteristics and say, okay, now I got these buttons on. Now I'm going to be filled with joy. I'm going to be filled with peace. It's not going to work that way. It's more like fruit trees out here. If we plant the fruit trees, fruit grows on the tree. You can't go out and paste the fruit on the tree. It's got to grow there. So these characteristics are going to come out of your life as you're walking, as you're living day by day, as led by the Spirit. The works of the flesh you can decide to do or not do, but the fruit of the Spirit comes from abiding in Christ. And in chapter 15 of John, let me just read that for you. You know the passage well, but Jesus summarizes this for us very well, I think, in the first chapter, or the first few verses of chapter 15. Here's what he says, familiar passage, but listen to it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So there, we're told by Jesus that the key is abiding in him, meaning that he is to be in us, the Spirit especially, which is given to us. We want to give attention to that and to be led by that. So that really brings us to the conclusion. Are you going to walk by the flesh and have all kinds of difficulties in your life? And you've seen it. You've been there, haven't you? We have. I have. Or are you going to follow the Spirit? Are you going to walk in the Spirit and pay attention to the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and then watch these characteristics come out of your life? And you can look around, maybe people right in this room, and you can see some characteristics. You can see that person and you just know, oh yeah, that's the description of this person. And maybe walking in the flesh maybe be where we were or where some of us maybe still are. But we want to take action and be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Amen? So make a note of this scripture and read it over and ask yourself, am I walking according to the flesh or am I walking by the Spirit? Is my life producing works of the flesh, or are the characteristic, these 9 characteristics coming out of my life. Okay? Let's close in prayer. Father, I pray for each one here, Lord. I just pray that there would be the fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of love, and the characteristics that are shown here of joy, peace, goodness, long-suffering, and so forth, Lord. And I just pray that we will heed you, that we will pay attention to you, and we will be led by you. O Spirit, fill us to overflowing, and may we follow you and be dependent on you. I ask for the blessings on each one here today because they came. I pray they will be closer to you. And if anybody here is not real clear that they have given you their lives, Lord, I pray they would do that right now. They would just say, Lord Jesus, I want to be closer to you. I want this peace and joy, which I've heard a little bit about. I want to be led by your Spirit. I'm tired of the lusts of the flesh. I'm tired of the works of the flesh in my life. And I know that that's not what pleases you. But I need you as my Lord and Savior. And so if there's any here today who have not yet received you, Lord, I pray they would just pray with me as we close. Lord, come into my heart and be my Savior. And I recognize I'm a sinner. But I confess my sins to you, Lord, and I need you as my Savior. And come into my heart and be my Lord. Guide me and lead me. Be my Savior and save me. And may I give my heart to you this day and forevermore. I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.